Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome back for another OG Show Live. Mr. Randall, how you doing?
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Reel Down.
Welcome back to another episode of Bass Fishing for News.
Hi, boys and girls. Welcome to, once again, Bass Kayak Appears.
Brother! This is the final cast.
Another segment of Chasing the Tide, your saltwater connection on the Paladin.
Welcome back, everyone. Another episode of Feather and Fur, your host, Brad.
Welcome back to the Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Crystal.
Hey, welcome back to Off the Water.
This is Q here with Adventures of Outdoor Woman Podcast.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast.
We're brought to you by Pelican Built Tough. For all situations, go to pelican.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, go to eastport.info. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com.
Hello, hello, everyone out there. This is Matt and Brad coming at you with another episode of the final cast on the Paddle and Fin Network. Brad, yes. How are you doing today?
Doing good. Best episode on Paddle and Fin.
All day long.
I'm putting the hammer down, so if you guys listening, we're the best.
Suck it.
I'm just joking.
I'm not. Suck it.
That's awesome.
Oh, but Brad, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, dude. The Browns won last night in a spectacular fashion.
So, dude, that like, was I'm awesome. Happy. I texted you, man. I texted you. I was like, dude, 25-6. The Browns won
and,
this.
What did I say? What did I say, though?
They said it. You said it's not over and they could still make a comeback. I said that'd be a colossal meltdown if that happens.
I said, shut up. Don't jinx it. And then you said that, and I think I text back or I meant to and didn't. I said, it's happened twice already this year. Let's not jinx it. And then they just kept pouring it on Nick Chubb, showing why he's the best running back in the league, and the rest of the team showing like they how they should act in the NFL. So
I'm just glad, man. The Bengals are poopy.
I hate them. Stacy's a Bengals fan too, so she came in. Oh, she doesn't watch football, but she's a Bengals fan. And I just paused it on the final score when it was real big. And I was like, look what happened. She's like, shut up.
I was talking to my brother about this the other day. He was like, we were talking about the biggest Steelers rival in the AFC North. And I was like, it's the obviously the Ravens. He was like, I hate them, dude, but I respect them. I was like, yeah, same. He's like, Browns and Bengals, they're just like annoying. I was like, that's because they're the little brother. And he was like, does that mean you think I'm annoying? And I'm like, no comment.
Yeah, it's true though. No, I mean, see, that's what when you go to the rivalry stuff, I don't hate the Bengals. Like, I just don't like them, but I don't hate them. I hate the Ravens because
the original Browns,
because the Cleveland Browns won that Super Bowl because it was all the Browns players. Yeah. I mean, it just that's minus like two. Like, that's just how, and I don't blame the players, but I hate them anyway. So, yeah. I mean, it is what it is. I'm way past that. So, I'm just happy we won a game for once, and the Buckeyes won, and they played terrible in my opinion, but they still won by 12. So it was a good weekend, at least sports wise. So I'm pumped.
There you go.
Yep. But I'm so pumped for this episode. I've been waiting for it since we had the idea. So I'm
Me too.
Excited. I'm ready to go.
it's not an original idea. I mean,
no,
we're kind of doing it different. Andrew Hayes, the Tackle Talk, he does an episode like this, but it's like fishing related. This episode, we have some fishing stuff in there. We have some goofy stuff, but we're having a listener's questions episode. So we're going to answer some questions from the listeners.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but before we get into that, as always, we do every show, Dark Horse Tackle, the best baits made in the USA. Use the code PADDLE20 for 20% off your first subscription box. Fantastic boxes. Go back through the shows. You'll see us doing unboxes on them. We usually do it the first or second show of every month. So definitely check them out. They will. I mean, I filled three boxes today from just the last 6 months of
jeez
Dark Horse boxes. So like if you don't have a lot of tackle, you can build up. If you're a tackle junkie like me, you can continue your obsession. So Dark Horse Tackle, check them out. And also another show sponsor, Nico Baits, which I mentioned on the last show, but just to reiterate it, once we get to December holiday time, we're going to partner with them and do a listener giveaway. So keep your ears open and eyes open if you're watching on YouTube for that. We'll have some more details come down the pipe here shortly. But without further ado,
leeches, man. I was just going to say those leeches.
Dude, they're amazing. I need
some more. Like,
that's one of the questions. Well, I will be talking about the leech, so don't worry. It's already there.
All right, we'll talk about it then.
I forgot to get a drink, so that sucks. All right, it is what it is. All right, Brad, you want to start us off? You want to ask start the first question, or it might be me just because I
yeah. Don't have pop it up on the screen. I'll let you run the questions on the screen just because I think it's in might be different order. I don't know. I might be retarded.
Yeah, possible.
First question is: how is the BFS stuff working out for everybody? That's coming from Dano 87. Alex Dano in Indiana.
So Brad kind of runs BFS just with a regular MGL reel because the Scorpion MGL can throw light as light can be. But I run an actual BFS. I run the Alderbaran BFS and a Mega Bass Hyuga BFS rod. And it's working out great, man. I haven't really thrown it, I'll be honest, in the last couple trips, mostly because I wanted something with a little bit more backbone because I was throwing out Ned Rig weedless. And it is impossible to find Ned Rig heads that are light wire. I don't know why.
Like weedless ones?
Yeah, like a weedless, yeah. Like an EWG style. They always have the thicker wire. So I've had to go to a medium spinning rod just because I just have better confidence in setting the hook. Now, don't get me wrong. I forgot what rod I've thrown before, and I've just ripped on that Hyuga. And nothing's happened. I didn't even hear a pop, so I'm sure it would be okay. But I don't want to take a risk of setting into like an actual really good fish and not get a good hook set. But yeah, when I do use it, I mean, I can cast a Ned Rig farther than almost anyone I know. I can be more accurate with it because I have more control with it in a casting reel and rod, or rod and reel. Super sensitive. And it's going to kind of be, especially going into the winter, I've actually got a couple really tiny jerk baits that I'm going to kind of play with. They're not your standard like Vision 110s or anything. They're a Mega Bass. I can't even remember the Mega Bass something Hyuga, not Hyuga, but something HY, Japanese word, flat side. And it is about 1¾ or 2 inches long. And I can't wait. And it's going to be perfect for that finesse system. So I can throw that out and really get the lazy fish or the finicky fish to see a little tiny bait fish darting around and hopefully they'll smack it. So I'm excited to play with that a little bit.
Yeah. Like Matt said, I have the Scorpion MGL and I have a couple other Bantam MGLs now. I can throw up to 1/8 ounce on those things. Easy. I've never tried anything smaller than that, but I mean, I don't know. I love them though. Like, I never had the option to throw anything less than 1/4 ounce on my bait casters until I got those MGLs. So it's like throwing a Joshi, for example, on a bait caster. It's awesome. Same with like the Z-Man finesse jigs. It's fun. I love it. So I've been enjoying that. I've never used the BFS technically or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, 1/8 ounce on a bait caster, that's pretty impressive too, I think.
Oh, for sure. And with those Bantams and the Scorpion MGL, you could probably test the waters down to a 16th if you really wanted to.
I don't see the point though.
Yeah, I mean, the BFS rod, it was really designed for like a trout baits, like super light ounce 16 or 1/16, 1/32 light trout baits that are short, like 6'9", that they're tracking it, trucking into and out of like streams and stuff like that. And then of course us Americans have just bastardized the whole technique and used it for smallmouth and largemouth bass. And but I mean, you could, those MGL reels, I've thrown a 16th ounce on a B or a Bantam before. And it threw it decent. Now, was I chucking it out there? No. And it was on a medium, like a light medium casting rod.
Yeah.
But it still, it was fine. And the plus with that is you're throwing such a small bait when you do get the hook, especially for Joshy. So I love throwing them on casting rods. When you set the hook, it's not like with a spinning rod, sometimes you either miss it or you're just not getting a ton of backbone, especially on far bites. But with a bait casting rod, I mean, you're setting into it and you have all the pressure straight up instead of kind of in an awkward position. So yeah, dude, it's money. I agree with you. Joshy's on a casting rod is a game changer.
Yeah, I like it. So what's the next question we got?
Next question we got is, it's from Cam out Daniel Outdoors. One of our buddy Cam, Daniel, he's been on the show a couple times. Fishing spot bucket lists. What are your top three spots that you have to go before you kick the bucket? You can start. That's a good one. I gotta think.
Oh, dude. So, I was just thinking about this cause I saw it in the queue. I'm going to say St. Clair, not far away. Three half hours away from us because we need to go.
Yes.
I'm going to say the New River in Virginia, West Virginia. And I don't know, dude. One of the Finger Lakes up north or the St. Lawrence River or something. I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would be sick. So mine are the Susquehanna River all day long. I want to
go. Oh, dude. Really, I should have added that.
I know.
Why did I not think of that?
So I want to go to the Susky. I've been to St. Clair, so that's off the list. That was on the list. We do need to go, especially since it's so close. Like, we have no excuse other than gas is expensive.
I know.
I want to go to Clear Lake in California, and I want to throw big swim baits around and catch 18-pound largemouth.
That would be a cool one, too.
It would be sick, dude. I want to go out there really bad. I've been to Gunnersville. I've been to Kentucky Lake, Dale Hollow. I've been to a lot of places. But I really like the number one. If I could fish your regular spots and go this one destination, I want to go to Lake Biwa in Japan.
Oh yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah, Lake Biwa is where the technical official world record largemouth came out of. I personally think there's a little asterisk next to that because the dude caught one out in Cali and they said they foul hooked it, but I don't think he did, but whatever. Yeah. But that lake it's the only main lake in Japan that has largemouth bass in it that aren't viewed as an invasive species. The bass get huge, like monstrous. They're aggressive as all get out. They fight. From what everything I've read and videos I've watched that I couldn't understand because they were speaking Japanese, but I've watched it. They fight like smallmouth and you're catching them in like 30 foot of water and they're fighting like smallmouth the whole way up. Like it look, I just want to put a boat on it, a kayak on it and just go to town and have like a week just to fish every inch of it.
Fishing 30 feet of water. I used to think that was like
impossible,
crazy, like impossible, man. But now like, I want to go up north and I want to hit that reservoir. It sounds fun right now.
Yeah. And I mean, especially in the next week or so, once we get closer into this week's going to be Ohio's stupid because we're in the 70s again. But next week it drops back down to the 40s, low 40s. So they're going to start pushing those deep water. So I definitely think a trip up there needs to happen.
We should.
I agree.
I'll let you read the next question because this is someone that's near and dear to you.
I don't say that. No. So this next question comes from my wife, my lovely wife, who knows she asks these questions and knows I'm going to talk about. She's got to listen to it. So, Stacy, I love you. Thank you for asking such great questions, because she's got like two or three in here. What's your number one bait for smallmouth? She knows, because I never shut up about it. So I'll let you start first.
Big Joshy.
Yep. So, surprise, surprise. It's also a Big Joshy. Or
it's just I will such a ask, good bait, man.
It, dude, it really is. It's hard to like to try to fight against it. But I will. The Nico Leech has been my new go-to lately, because when they're not biting anything else, including Joshies, they start smacking the leech. I don't know why. I don't know what's so special about it. I don't care.
Nobody's throwing it.
They're stupid because it's awesome.
Yeah. I agree, dude.
But yeah, I mean, it's for me, it's the Big Joshy or the Nico Leech all day long. If I could only throw two baits and I had to for smallmouth, I could throw both of those and I'd catch fish anywhere I go, no matter what part of the country I'm in.
Yeah, the Joshy is always tied on for me. It never comes off that rod. So the rod that I have specifically for the Big Joshy.
Yep. So I'm the same. We can go.
That one?
Oh. I got it.
If you could go back in time and give your younger self a tip, what would it be? From Cam Daniel Outdoors. I'm guessing he wants to say fishing related, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming so, because he commented on my thing and said this. So I'm assuming it's fishing related, but it might be life related. I don't know. I can tell you, if it's life related, save more money. Don't buy stupid stuff. Definitely those two. Be more financially cognizant of what you're doing. And then fishing related, be more patient. Mm-hmm. Cause I'm such, and you're kind of the same way, but I'm so stuck in the rut of power fishing, and that's all I want to do, and everything else takes me off, and I get frustrated if I'm not getting bites. Be more patient when it comes to fishing. Be able to slow down and throw those finesse baits without getting frustrated and sit there and bounce something across some rocks for 20 minutes. And
hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Take your time and pick apart cover, because I've had to learn that last couple years. Is I see cover, I cast three or four spots, and then I leave. Like, actually pick it apart, and it's paid off this year when I pick apart cover. Didn't get a fish for the first 10 casts, and on 11 casts, I get a 17 who was just sitting there, and I had to finally get over there. So those would be my tips for sure.
The tip that I would give would be the biggest thing that's helped me learn how to fish deeper water, which I didn't start doing this until a couple, two or three years ago, I guess. So the biggest thing is people, like we said a few minutes ago, people look at that 30-foot depth mark and they're like, oh, that's way too deep. Put it into perspective. So if you got a tape measure at home, run that tape measure out to 30 feet and just visually look at how long that is. When you put it into perspective like that, it's not that deep at all. You're just like, really, oh, wow, that's 30 feet. That's not very long. So that puts in perspective. And then when you're throwing heavier baits, like a 3/4 ounce or an ounce jig, or even an ounce and a quarter and quarter jig, that jig gets to the bottom super quick, a lot quicker than you would think. So I can get like a TRD down to like 20, 25 feet in maybe like 4 seconds, 5 seconds. But I also use the 1/5 ounce, but that's my tip, man, to learn deeper waters. That's something that's helped me a lot.
It's definitely a good tip, because, I mean, kind of like what you said, a lot of people are super intimidated by deeper water. And a lot of us growing up from the bank has always fished to where we're casting into shallow water, and we're not, it doesn't go very deep. So we think all the bass are up shallow all the time. But I mean, when you get into summer patterns, if you have a big body of water near you, or winter patterns, those largemouth and smallmouth will go deep 20 to 25 feet and they'll just suspend there and they'll stay down there because the thermal climbs there. This is a whole nother episode to really get into if we ever decide to like really dive deep into fish finders and what they are and all that fun stuff, which I think you guys did before I came on the show, you guys did an episode kind of like that. But you'll find on your fish finder, you can find the thermocline. Fish are sitting there. So if it's in 22 feet of water, the fish are at 22 feet of water in the winter and then in the summer, because it stays at constant temperature almost year round. It only fluctuates 2 to 3 degrees. So they're there. So if you're fishing and you're not getting bites in 8 feet of water, well, it's because the fish are in 22 feet of water. And you have to, just, like what you said is the best tip I've ever heard, because I never even thought about that. Take a tape measure, throw it out there. A lot of people would be surprised that most people's driveways are 20 to 25 feet.
Yeah, exactly.
And they don't,
it's like not just, that long at all.
And you think when you pull, like when I get in my truck, I always say, like I pull in the driveway, I'm always like, dude, I wish I had like an extra 8 feet of driveway.
Yeah.
Just because it's, my truck is from front or from my garage to almost the end of the driveway into the approach of the driveway. And that's 22 foot. Mm-hmm. So like, it's not as much bad as you think. Everybody, it is something you have to do to get confident with, and feeling your bait at the bottom is a little bit different because you're pushing through a lot more water, but it's something you can do with practice and repetition. So yeah, you'll catch more fish,
especially if the bottom's like muddy or something, or not rocks or anything, then you can't really feel it. But I don't know, just you'll visually feel, in your head, just visualize it. That's
And you'll, I'm feel a carpenter, the bite, dude. I mean, yeah.
So like when I pulled out my tape measure, I was just like, oh wow, 30 feet.
Yeah.
And like, that's helped, great, that helped my mindset.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and it's not like you're going out. I can promise you, I highly, highly doubt. I'm sure someone said, oh no, I've caught one. You're not going to find bass in 100 foot of water. It's, I mean, I don't think they can go down that far. Maybe they can. I don't know. The deepest I've ever caught a bass was 35 foot. When I brought it up, it looked like it was about to explode. So like I had to do,
did you have to fizz it?
Yeah, I had to fizz it and do everything, and the thing still took me like 5 minutes of like just running water through the gills to get to swim off, and it went. It did
you,
this.
You were stroking.
Dude, I was bringing her back, and it, what's crazy is it. You think all that energy, it wouldn't want to go straight back. It took two swipes of its tail and then went straight down, just like a whale.
That's crazy.
I mean, it's a lot. It's not as intimidating as you think, I guess, is what the last part I want to say. So, next question. Hey, look who it is. It's Stacy Souders, my wife again.
Man, this question can be a loaded question.
It can be a loaded question. And we got the time. So I say we just dig into it because it's a good question. I mean, I get asked it every season. What the question is, what baits are best for different seasons? And every season, no matter, it never fails when the weather changes, somebody will ask, what are you throwing? What have you changed? I have two baits that move around. That's a jerk bait I'll throw in spring and fall. I want to throw it in the summer, and I occasionally do, but I don't ever really get bit on it. It happens, but it's rare. And then I throw the Ned Rig spring to early summer, and then late summer to fall and winter.
Yeah.
Everything else I throw, jigs, Texas rigs, swim baits, I will throw them year round and get bit on them year round. That's just me. I've grown to where I'm keeping everything simple, stupid. I have 40,000 lures, but my techniques are all pretty straightforward. I'll throw jerk baits, the only thing I won't throw in the middle of summer. And I won't throw Ned Rigs in the middle of summer, but I'll throw everything else year round. I don't care.
Yeah. So I was going to just like hit two from each season, I guess, starting with winter. I mean, I always have, obviously I have the Ned Rig tied on in the winter and a jerk bait. And then the spring I'll bust. Well, I'll still have the Ned Rig on, especially pre-spawn, but then I'll move more towards the Big Joshy, and I don't really throw topwater much until it gets summertime, but I know people that's caught them, and I'm sure it'll work, but I don't know. Big Joshy goes through the fall, honestly.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, you're not wrong. I won't really throw the Big Joshy in the winter too much. I did last year and I got like two fish off of it. But it was like two fish to 2000 casts. So it wasn't like my bite ratio was stupid low. And topwater, I mean, I'll throw it year round. I guess I tend to throw it a lot more in summer and fall.
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't throw it. I don't throw topwater at all in the winter. I've never caught a fish on it in the fall. Down south I have, but it's different. But I've never caught a fish up here in the fall on topwater. And I've caught maybe eight fish on topwater in the spring.
Man, this year that like I caught on topwater a couple weeks ago and the water temperature was 46. That's the lowest I've ever caught one.
Oh yeah, when you caught the shower blows. I don't know. It might just be that shower blows is a little different. I don't know. That thing is like God's gift to people.
I do like it. It's nice. But in the summertime, I'll switch to like finesse jig and stuff, and I'll work that deeper structure more, especially in like the dog days of summer. Like you'll target those laydowns in deeper water and stuff, and then still the Big Joshy. And then the fall, what have I been throwing? I've been throwing topwater a lot lately and a spinnerbait in the fall.
Yeah, in the fall, I mean, I throw it year round, but I tend to get way more bites on it. I'll throw an underspin. I throw the Uzi or the Waze, the Waze from Mega Bass, which is a swim jig with a little underspin, a little willow blade that comes off of it. I throw that, and I usually always get bit on it in the fall, and then I'll get bit on it in the summer too. But in the summer, I'll throw just a jig, but I'll throw a jig year round too. I mean, I'll be throwing a jig in December this year. I'm still going to get fish on it.
I've heard it working.
Yeah. I mean, you just have to roll it. I mean, it's winter fishing's all finesse. So I'll throw a Jigmaster's finesse jig down there. A little bit of rocket real slow, 'cause the fish are going to be slow, and then let them just do that real soft bite. So,
yeah. Cool, man. What's the next
one? On to the next one. Have any of you all had the chance to use or have you purchased the new Yak Attack Black Pack Pro? That's from Canyon Lake TX Angler.
I have not used it. I will say it looks sweet. I like that you can upgrade a bunch of stuff on it, and it has all the holes for different attachments and everything. I haven't used it, though. I want to try it, but haven't used it, so I can't really say.
Yeah, same. I haven't used it. I've seen it. I've got a buddy who has one. It's cool. And kind of like what Brad said, it has all the little mounting points so you can mount things any way you want so it fits how you do it. I'm just not a huge fan of the milk crate style of box, which is what I'm going to call it because it is. It just has a lid and it's just a box that you have to reach into. Because I had milk crates. I had the Flambeau crate. I had the original Black Pack and they all worked fine. In all honesty, you can go to an Aldi and ask for a milk crate and they'll sell you one for like $1.50. And then you can use that and it'll work great. But the reason I like the Yak Gadget one, the Low Pro XD, is because everything's a lot easier to get to. Like I don't have to pull a lid off and reach in. I can just reach behind me and it's right there. I just go underneath the soft cover and I'm good to go. So while I do think the Black Pack Pro looks cool and I think a lot of people are getting good use out of it, it doesn't fit my fishing style and what I like. So I just go with the Yak Gadget, and I don't really have a need or a want to try the Black Pack Pro. I know you do. You've talked about it before and I think, you know, it would work out. But I've got to the point, I don't even bring my Low Pro out unless I'm going on a lake. Like I bring two boxes on call today.
Same here. I agree.
Yep.
All right, what's the next one we got?
Next one is Brad, you should have this. What's the best beginner combo for saltwater fishing for redfish, trout? And that's from Dartfish Dan. Dartfish Dan, I can tell you I live, and so does Brad, in Dayton, Ohio. The closest redfish we have is about 800 miles away. So we don't know, but lucky for you, the Paddle and Fin Network is expansive. So Brad reached out and got the answer for you, Dart. So here you go.
reached out to Dustin Nichols, and I had to quote him. So I told him the question you answered, and I had him answer. He said Daiwa has some really good entry level spinning reels. The Laguna LT 2500, or if they want to go up to $100, the Fuego LT is a bit better. He said that Arid Coastal are affordable and have some backbone to tackle redfish. The 7 foot medium heavy extra fast would be good, and they are $49.95. Will not break the bank. So there you go.
Yeah, and I can say I've used the Fuego, and it's a great reel from Daiwa, and it's only like $100.
They make a freshwater version too, right?
They do. That's the one I've used. I'm sure the saltwater version, there's no difference other than how it's sealed designed drag. And it's sealed and it's a sealed drag. There's no other than that. I can't imagine it being a much bigger difference. We're probably a little heavier drag. That's about it. But it's a great reel, and it just like that rod, it won't break the bank. So you can really get into it for maybe $170 and you have a whole setup that'll work.
It's not bad. You think about like saltwater, you think that you need some expensive stuff to tackle that kind of fish, but apparently not.
Dude, I know a ton of people who go down there with catfishing gear.
Well, I believe that. Yeah.
They do it every year. And they just, when they're done, like you, contrary to popular belief, everybody, you don't have to have saltwater reels to fish in saltwater. You just have to not be lazy when you're done and clean it.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, when I go down to Florida, cause I never know what I'm going to hit. So like this year I went down there for a week, didn't get a fish at all. Love my family to death. And then I went down there for 2 days to pick my dad up because he had some stuff going on from work down there and I had to drive him home. And I fish fresh both times, but I've gone down there for and fish salt, and I'll bring my Metanium with me. And technically Shimano says it's salt waterproof. I don't believe them. They're lying, cause it's not. So I just, when I get done, I'll fish all day. I'll catch some little sea trout right off the shore and get yelled at by some old people walking the bank and then, or the beach. It's the beach there, not the bank. And then I'll go home and I'll take my reel apart and I'll just run water right through it from a hose and just run fresh water through it and then dry it all off and re-oil it. And it's fine and re-grease it. And it's great. I've never had an issue. Like it's been sitting here and it's still fine and it's awesome. So you don't need super expensive stuff. And if you got bass stuff, I can tell you, if you get anything big, your drag is not enough.
Yeah.
I don't care which one you got, unless you got the 13 fishing concept A, because it has a 22 pound drag on it. That'd about be the only thing I can think. Your Corrados, your Metaniums, my Antares.
You want to hear something crazy?
Hmm.
So I don't know. This was probably like 8 years ago. Kurt Smith's local guy to us. He was on the news for catching a blue catfish on the Ohio River in the middle of winter using 8 pound mono.
Whew.
And I was like, how in the world did you do that? And he's like, it was a long fight.
I bet it was. I mean, that's another thing. Whole nother thing. If we ever do a full, like super in-depth line video, you can catch some big fish on light line.
Yeah.
Like I know dudes who catch catfish on 6 pound and 4 pound when they're pan fishing. You just let the fish wear itself out and you don't horse it because you're just going to snap your line immediately. So
the first time I ever caught a carp. So I went with this guy I met on OGF. His name was Sammy Fish. And we went carp fishing. Cause I was like, I never caught one. Let's catch one. Yeah. That's what happened in the woods.
Pickle Park.
But anyway, he had his setup. He was using an ultralight and 2 pound test. And he was fighting these carp forever. I'm like, dude, that's nuts. He's like, dude, I love it. It's fun. I'm like, that's crazy, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's you can do a lot with some light line. But all right, next. So Dart, hopefully that answered your question. If it didn't, or if you have more questions, reach out to me or Brad, and we'll hook you up with Dustin or somebody else that we know that does some red sea trout fishing, and then get you all hooked up. Next. This is from Brian Slanton, also known as the Creek Crawler on YouTube and other social media networks. You have one rod and one lure to chase smallmouth in summer. What is it and why?
We already went over it.
Kind of, yes. But I mean, we went over a couple techniques. But yeah, it's just a big Joshy. The Nico Leech has been awesome so far, but I never really got to play with it in like end of June, early July. So I don't know if it would still be as potent as it is. But you know, it is potent. The big Joshy. Yeah. So
what Rod and Reel set up?
It's going to be, I would probably throw it on a Metanium DC. Because I can throw, I can throw really light stuff and really heavy stuff. And I would probably put it, this will probably be surprising to you, but it's a reaction bait. So I would probably put it on, well, it probably won't be surprising to you, the X-Matrix, Douglas X-Matrix 715F. Mm. So I get a little bit, it's a medium rod, fast action. I get a little bit longer rod, so I can put it out a little bit farther for the lighter stuff, but it loads up really well.
I thought a 5 was a medium heavy.
715 is a medium.
Huh.
The 7.4, the 7.44 and the 7.45 are medium and heavy, but the 715 is a medium. I remember when I was buying them, you said, why are you buying a 715? And I was like, oh, for lighter jigs. I think it's a medium, so I'm cool with it. It works out great. I throw jigs on it, and then I throw Joshies on it and jerkbaits on it, so works great.
So my lure is also a big Joshy, and I'm throwing that on X-Matrix 724XF. I like the extra fast tip just for fighting in current and stuff like that. And I don't know, I feel like I get a good hook set with it. The reel I got is a Shimano Stratic FL that I got from Matt. He gave it to me because... I can't believe he gave it to me. He handed it to me. I was just like, what? Are you serious?
Like, I don't remember what it was for. I think it was for your birthday or something. Like, and for everyone out there, Brad he's like family to me, but I didn't go out and buy him a brand new one. Yeah. It was one of mine that I barely used. Like, and I mean, it was barely used. It might as well have been brand new, but I didn't. And I didn't pay
the one I had.
Well, yeah. And you bought that one from me. So yeah. Yeah. But yeah, continue.
But yeah, Shimano Stratic FL. And what was I going to say? I was going to say something else.
Oh, also, I'm using the Jigmaster sled head as my my jig of choice. Will be the sled head all day long. It works great.
Yeah, that's a good point. The screw lock on that makes those swim baits last so much longer. Wicked Weights makes one too, actually. It's a rounded head that has a... So I want to try those two just to compare.
It's actually, that's a Ned head.
Is it really?
Yeah, their branding is a Ned head. I saw it and I thought about it, but everything I throw Ned is, it's all Lastec. So I didn't really want to, I wasn't going to put a Lastec now for Joshies. It'd be perfect.
What if they start doing a Lastec and Joshies?
Dude, it'd be over. I don't know. I'd be a little butthurt. Because I have this whole giant thing just full of Joshies. But
it's crazy.
Yeah, it could happen though. So there you go, Brian. I'm sure you would be in the same bucket, but you throw a lot of Nico stuff. So
this is the Helgramite, I guarantee it.
It is. It's got to be. That's like, but he catches a ton of fish on it. You know what's crazy? I still haven't caught a fish on it at all.
I caught one on the one we got from Jolly Bait Company.
I know. I saw that and I was like, I don't know why they've got to be here. And I looked it up. Not really. We don't have a whole lot of native species of helgramites throughout our area of Ohio.
I didn't know that.
So maybe it's just not a forage. Like they said they're there. They found them, but it's not a
big large
population. It's not a large enough population to be considered a main forage species. Our main forage species here are that one fish that we looked up and I can't remember what it is now.
Oh, the hog sucker, northern
the hog sucker. The northern hog sucker is a forage fish, and crawls.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah. There's a lot of crawls in the GMR.
Yes, to say the least.
Big ones too, like really big ones.
Dude, last time I went out, I saw one that like I could have just ate and probably been a okay snack. Like it was
like a boil it.
Dude, it was massive. Like, dang. I was like, no, nothing here is eating that. The thing, the fish that eats that is a fish you like get put on a wall.
23-incher.
It is retarded.
That's cool.
Okay, so here's our first funny one.
Oh, why does Matt spit the Mountain Dew back into the bottle after he's done drinking it? That's from Chris Yauch.
All right, Mr. Yauch. So I don't spit the Mountain Dew back in. I respect Mountain Dew too much to not enjoy it. But see, I have this great thing called a tobacco addiction. So for everyone, I'm sure you can hear it when I'm talking.
Justin told me that when we're on the river. He's like, I can hear every time Matt spits in the bottle, it goes click, and then he goes poof.
Yeah. So for all the people listening, I chew tobacco. I have one in, I don't know, 20
right now.
One out. Yeah, I've got one in right now. Darker. I can tell you I've been doing it so long, I've made a pocket in the back of my cheek where I can throw it back there and you can't tell I have it. I have one like this in all day during work when I'm talking to people all the time, and I just gut it if I have to. And no one knows. Oh. Fun fact, I had one in during Justin's wedding.
Did you really?
Had no idea.
That's no hilarious. Idea.
But yeah, I mean, I really want to quit. Black Buffalo, I know you're not going to hear this because why would you? But if you do, get with me and send me some tobacco-free stuff because I want to quit. I've tried a couple times. I get about 3.5 days and either my wife makes me go get a can because I get so irritable or I go get a can so I don't commit like mass murder. So I've tried. Crazy, I've kind of given up on it. I just whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Who cares? According to my dentist and many other dentists, you have a better chance of getting cancer from sunflower seeds than you do from tobacco, as long as you move the tobacco around. Because you actually get the cancer. Oh. Mouth cancer is from irritation in the same spot. That's why every couple of days I move it over to the other side and I move it up here and down here. I move it around. As long as you move it around, this is from dentists, multiple. Move it around. You will probably be okay. It's not guaranteed, but for every 100,000 cases of cancer from smoking related or from tobacco use, 100,000 cases, less than 5 of those are from chewing tobacco.
Yeah.
They're all from smoking.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So.
We got a couple other questions from Chris. Like, we got repeat questions from a few people, so it's all good. We'll answer them all still. So, what's the next one? Why do people that make spinnerbaits and buzzbaits not make a closed eye so the knot doesn't slide all over the place? From Chris Yauch again.
We just talked about this on our spinnerbait show.
We did. I think it's because it takes up too much time. You know, to actually twist it when you could just done.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a time constraint. But the argument to that is, well, they're making them with the machines anyway. Like, Strike King's not hand-making every single thing. So they can make a machine
that holds it, twists it. Well, I was thinking, like, custom.
Custom work I could see. I mean, like, Jigmasters, for example. It's one dude making them. I can understand why he doesn't do it. I don't know if...
I like the closed eye.
So do I. And I've had a couple spinner baits that have closed eyes and they're fine. So I don't think it's a performance issue. I think it's mostly a time thing. Like I said, the one thing I like about Guggen, what they do is they give you that little green rubber band that goes over the eye. So when you're tying your knot can't go everywhere. It stays right there.
Right.
So, and I've never lost one of those from fishing. So, I mean, cool. It works. But I don't know. That would be a great question to ask somebody next time we have somebody on that makes spinnerbaits. Yeah,
that would be interesting. Well,
yeah, put that in the mind bank. Next one.
Ooh, controversial.
This is a really good one.
What can be done about spot burning on YouTube from Chris Yauch? I don't even know where to start.
I don't think anything can be done about it.
Right.
If you're showing a spot on YouTube, you can not get mad if someone goes to your spot. You can't. That's how it goes. I don't know. Like, I want to, the spot guarder in me says, like, just don't show people where you're at on YouTube. don't make YouTube videos of spots, super secret spot, and then show like a bridge that everyone knows what the bridge is. Like, you know, yeah. Or obvious landmarks that show stuff. But then the other person on me is, you know, YouTube and social media have become kind, I wouldn't say the lifeblood of the industry, but I mean, pretty much. I mean, it's got to the point to where people are learning how to fish the river from podcasts, YouTube videos. Yeah. You know, I mean, I guarantee you, as much as Jeff Little stuff I've watched, I could probably go to the Susky and know where to fish.
Yeah.
Because he shows everything. So I don't know how to really to answer this question either way, because I'm on both sides. I wish you wouldn't do it, because you're starting to show some of the spots I fish and it's taking me off. But I also understand why you do it.
Yeah.
Like I get it. Like I don't know. It's weird.
I don't watch much YouTube at all, really. Unless somebody will send me a video like, hey, check this out. Do you think there's like spots that they won't film in at all because they know that spot's like the spot?
I'm sure that there are, but
like, why would you willingly give your spot away? That's, I don't know, dude.
There's ways around it to where, like, if you don't show any landmarks and you don't show yourself walking in and you're just fishing a blank, a stream or a river that looks like every other river in the United States, then you're not, I'm not going to say you're spot burning, because unless you know where that's at, you're not going to know where that's at. Like, someone who watches be like, oh, there's that one oak tree from that one bit. No, they're not, because that's stupid. No one's going to know that.
I do that.
I'm shut up. Well, yeah, but that's different though. Because a lot of the spots that, like, if I send you a picture or Justin sends you a picture or something, you know it because you fish there all the time with us. So it's not like, I mean, but if someone went up north on the Mad and sent you a picture.
Yeah, I wouldn't know.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So unless you know the river really well.
Like, if somebody posted a picture or something of the background, I could probably tell you what stretch of the river they're on just from the background. Like, because each stretch has, like, different subtle differences in trees. And
I can agree with that, because I'm starting to get grass. Like that, too. I mean, there's certain stretches that have a lot more rocks than others. There's certain stretches that have a lot more tree cover than our actual woods than others. I'm going to say this little thing, and if you're listening to this person, I mean nothing negative when I say it at all. I don't agree with you, but I still think we're friends, but I don't agree with you. I had a guy who does YouTube pretty consistently who will people will ask him to go with him, and he says, oh, I'm gonna film. He's like, well, I don't want you filming. He's like, well, if I'm going with you, I'm filming. I don't agree with that. You got invited to a spot, you don't get to film it and show everyone else their spot, because it's not your spot. He's willing to show you, because, like, for me and Brad, if I know a spot, I'll tell Brad. If Brad knows spots, he'll tell me. We don't tell a whole lot of other people, though.
Me, you, and Justin, that's about it.
That's the inner circle, and then we will sprinkle some knowledge on a couple people who come with us occasionally. But even then, we're very vague about some of the stuff we say. And it's not necessarily that I'm, like, spot guarding, but I just don't want to go out there one day and see 77 people on Pelican kayaks. It's going to tick me off. Yeah. It just is. I'm sorry. I mean...
You said it best though. Like, the only people that are going to know about the spot are the people that have floated through there and have seen it, like, or have fished it. And then on the other side, it's going to be people that have went through there, never caught anything, didn't know that spot was there, but now they do. So I don't know.
See, that's another negative thing about it, is that aspect. So let's say, cause there's some spots that you and me fish that probably the whole community fishes, and they never fish that spot, or they go right by it because they never catch a fish there. But you and me will go there and we'll catch a limit out of one little spot.
Yep.
And we know where that spot is. No one else does. It could be an eddy here or a hole there. But if it's, you show a video,
like, literally like 10, 20 feet away from where they're fishing. Like, if you turn around and cast that way, you're going to catch the fish.
Yeah. And if you're on that video because YouTube videos are typically super descriptive, because they have to be. That's why people are watching your stuff. They're not just watching it because they think you're attractive. They're watching it because you have information that they want.
Yeah.
So if you're fishing, everyone knows this stretch, and be like, oh, I fish there all the time and I've never caught a fish there. And he's like, yeah, there's this 12-foot hole right there that's guaranteed to have stack fish. And he pulls out eight fish on a like a tough day that everyone else, you know, was fishing that day. You got, it was a tough day. Now, you know, oh, there's an 8 foot or a 12 foot hole there. And now if that was one of my spots, now that's going to be super overpressured because everyone's going to fish that 12 foot hole every time they go by. Yeah. Every single time. So, I mean, it's kind of part of the beast. I mean, you fish big lakes, everyone knows where everything is. It's very rare there's any hidden spots anymore, and you kind of just have to adapt, and you have to follow the fish or change up what you're doing.
Side scan and live scope ruin lake fishing.
We'll get
into that. It didn't ruin it, but yeah.
That's one of the questions. Yeah. So,
let's go to the next one. We hit that one good, so.
Yeah. Next one.
Oh, man. Will one of you Shimano boys pick up a Daiwa sometime? That's from FCK. That's Dadlicious on Instagram. I love Nick, man. Nick is the man. He's a cool dude.
Nick is awesome. We've had him on a two-parter on the show about swim baits because he is one of the people that I know for a fact can throw a swim bait probably on any stretch of any river and catch fish on them.
Yeah.
Big swim baits. I'm not talking to Joshies like we throw. Yeah. I'm talking about big swim baits.
Mag giraffes and stuff.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about like the bastard from River City Swim Baits.
What'd you call me?
BASS, my friend. BASS.
Oh, that's punny.
You know, shut up. Citizens and stuff like that. And he catches fish on them. So to answer your question, I think he's probably more because he kind of knows you're open to pretty much use. You love Shimano stuff, but you'll try other stuff. I mean, you were literally texting me the other day about ordering a Daiwa Air.
Yeah. The thing looks sweet.
It does look sweet. And I am a Shimano girl when it comes to reels. I love all their stuff, but I'm not against using Daiwa stuff. I will tell you, I'm against using American Daiwa stuff. I think American Daiwa stuff sucks. I don't care if you use it. I hope you really love it and it works for you. I think it's trash. That's just how it is. I'm allowed to have that opinion because F you, I'm an American. So sucks to suck. I just don't like Daiwa American stuff. I do enjoy Japanese Daiwa stuff. The Steez line is fantastic. The JDM Steez line from Daiwa, retardedly expensive, but freaking amazing. Awesome reels.
Fantastic. I want to try one.
And I'll tell you, two of them are probably faster and smoother casting than most of my Shimano reels.
Huh.
But they're like $900 a pop.
Oh, so yeah.
They're expensive. Ridiculous. Like I've never owned one. I've used buddies who owned them and I liked them. I think they're awesome. But their whole lineup compared to Shimano, I think Shimano has better quality across the board. I think Daiwa, you really get their good stuff once you get higher up. That makes sense.
So Matt gave me a Daiwa Tatula a long time ago. I used it for a while. I have no idea where that freaking reel went, dude. I still can't find it. I don't know what happened to it. It's weird, but I didn't like that reel at all. That thing was trash.
And I'm telling you, like a lot of people love the Tatula spinning reels for the same price.
I didn't like
because they're, I think they're $199 or $219. You know what else I can get for $199 or $219? A Shimano or a Stratic or a Vanford. And both of those reels, in my opinion, are leaps and bounds ahead of the Tatula spinning reel.
Yeah. That reel reminded me of the Revo X.
Mm-hmm.
The Tatula did similar to it.
It's just clunky. It's not, for a spinning reel, it should be way smoother than it is. It feels like there's too much stuff going on with it. It gets grindy. I'm not a fan of it. And it's Daiwa America. I think their stuff sucks.
like you said, though, I want to try the Steez and I want to try that Air because I was talking to Josh Chitwood about it. He said that's basically their version of the BFS. So
it is. Yeah. And I told you the same thing. I was between the Alder Baron and the Air when I was looking at them, and the Air gets ridiculously awesome reviews, just like the Alder Baron BFS did. So, I mean, you wouldn't be unhappy if you tried it.
Yeah. Be cool.
So this is another loaded question. I'll preference that I love talking about. Should live scope be allowed in kayak tournaments? From Chris Yonk.
Oh, I don't know, dude. I don't care if people use it or not. I don't use live scope. I really don't have a desire to get one. I rather I'd rather beat the guys who have live scope. I'm not going to lie. Like, it'd be awesome to be like, I did it without electronics, so suck it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's always my argument with it. So I've had live scope, had it on my boat, used it for probably 5 months and sold it. And I sold it mostly, sold it for two reasons. One, I needed money for another boat. The second reason I sold it was because I was starting to find myself too sucked in to live scope, to where I could find all the fish in the world, but if those fish weren't biting, I would sit and make that fish either bite or swim away. And I'd be on a fish for 20 minutes. I just got sucked into it. Now I'm looking to get it again, because I feel like this time I know what's happening. I can use it a little differently. Mostly I was thinking about, because I'm just like you, I'm diving back into tournaments again next year. So I was going to use it for pre-fishing to find the fish, and then tournament day, have it on the boat, but not have it turned on until I feel like I need it. But do I think it should be allowed in tournaments? Of course I do.
Yeah, I do too.
It's how it goes. It's we're moving on in technology. Cause if you said, well, you shouldn't be allowed to have live scope, then you shouldn't be allowed to have electronics, period.
Yeah.
It's either all or none. It's no,
well, it's not going to, like, it'll help you find the fish. It's not going to help you catch them. You still got to know what to throw, how to work that bait.
Drew Gregory said it best on the last show he did with Jimmy when he was talking about the Pickwick stuff. Everyone has different skill sets. Mm-hmm. Okay. He's won most of his tournaments on the Bassmaster and the Hobie this year in Creek Arms. He hasn't fished Main Lake, but the tournaments that he didn't win, the winner came from Main Lake. Everyone has different skills. They all had electronics. He doesn't use electronics.
Yeah.
At all. And he beat them. So saying that, oh, live scope shouldn't be allowed because they have an unfair advantage, I don't believe that's the case. I just think you need to find the fish better.
I think that's an excuse.
I agree.
I'm just going to say it.
it's and it'll go with the same. Let's see. Can I put two up at a time? No, I can't. But it goes with this one, too. This is also from Chris Yonk. And I don't think he's, like, on the side of shouldn't be allowed to have it. I don't know. But I don't think he is. I think he's just asking these questions because they're good questions. But same thing. Are motors ruining kayak fishing tournaments? I don't think so. I really don't.
I don't think so. But, like, local tournaments, especially in Ohio, man, our lakes are small anyway. Like, most of these local guys, they can't afford these motors and stuff. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I'm back and forth on it. I've used the motor on the lakes. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, but if that same concept and thought process, like these guys can't afford it. Okay. If you can't use motors, you shouldn't be allowed to use live scope, because I can't afford live scope without having to save up for it and not getting stuff. I can't just go out and buy live scope. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I think motors are more useful than live scope, though, in my opinion.
Yeah, I can agree, because it can get you to spots a little bit better. But I also think it's a good thing for the tournament community, because you can have tournaments on larger lakes because people have motors or pedal drives.
That's the thing, though. Like, lakes in Ohio, they're not big at all.
Okay, so let's say there's a tournament on Caesars Creek. Do you want to paddle that? Lake. I know.
We don't do Caesar Creek tournaments.
Cincinnati's doing one.
They changed it.
Oh, that's stupid. Oh, that moves. They changed it to
Acton Lake.
But Acton's not huge, but it's also not small. Would you rather paddle that all day? Would you paddle that all day?
Yeah, I've done it plenty of times.
Would you get to, let's say you had a spot on the other side of the lake, would you be able to get there, fish your other spots, and then get back to the ramp before it lines out?
Oh, yeah.
Comfortably. Not,
well,
like,
my shoulders would be hurting, but I, oh, yeah. Like, so that lake's smaller. It's probably as big as Kaiser, maybe a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
It's about the same size.
I tell you what, man, this is how I look at it. On a lake like Kaiser, if everyone's paddling, no pedals, because everyone can't afford pedal drives either. So we'll just get to where, let's just do the roundabout boat. Everybody has a crescent Scholey because they paddle great. Everyone has crescent Scholeys. There's going to be guys who can't paddle like you can all the way across the other side of the lake and maintain spot and paddle back into the wind and all that fun stuff. So they're going to fish at Kaiser. They're going to fish the dam. That's what they're going to fish that area right in there. Mm. Well, if there's 40 people in that tournament, 9 times out of 10, 30 of those people all had that same mindset. So you're going to have 30 boats all right here. And then there's going to be your 10 Ironmans who are over here fishing all the other stuff and then getting back.
Yeah.
With motors, out of those 30 people, if 20 people can afford a motor, now there's only 10 anglers right here. And then they're spread out throughout the whole lake. Whether it's big or small, people are spread out. There's still going to be some people on top of each other because it's a small lake, but you can spread people out easier and people are more willing to go after fish out of their comfort zone maybe to get to spots. I don't think it's ruining fishing tournaments at all. No. I mean, because you could, if you don't want a motor, go to the Hobie. Go fish Hobies. You can't have a motor in the Hobie.
Yeah, I was just comparing it to local. I don't know.
I mean, I can see where you're coming from local wise, but then at the same time, I mean, there's guys who we know fish these local tournaments who have Hobies that have probably 9 grand worth of electronics on them. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's just how it is. And there'd be situations like if there's a tournament and you're fishing the GMR, you're not using a motor 9 times out of 10 anyway. I mean, you might,
yeah,
it'd be a torpedo.
I probably wouldn't unless I was by myself.
Yeah, that'd be about the only reason you would, but. Okay, we've hit that. We could probably go another hour on just that two things if we really wanted to.
How widespread do you think cheating is in the kayak tourneys, Chris Elk?
I don't think it's as widespread as everyone thinks it is, especially with all the controversy going on right now. I think everyone thinks everyone's cheating all the time.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the case. Everyone pretty much requires cat. Now, if we were still using hog troughs, yeah, people are cheating. Just how it is. You could cut a hog trough and all day long.
Bend them.
You can bend them, make them longer. Like you could do a bunch of stuff. But with everything going to catch boards and stuff like that, I guess fish baskets, that's a thing. People are basking fish from pre-fishing and going to pick them up. That's definitely, I can see that happening.
People the benefit of the doubt with stuff like that, though. Like, I don't think people are doing that.
I'm the same way. I don't think people are doing that mostly because it would be kind of common, or it would be kind of noticeable by now. Like, if someone was doing that, if they did it for one tournament and they got away with it, they do it every tournament and you'd see the same person winning every single tournament, just how it is. I do think in your smaller local tournaments, I do think there's cheating involved. And when I say cheating involved is I personally believe that, and this is all over the country, because I had a buddy who lives out in Colorado. They have like a little bass trail that in kayaks that have, they have like 12 members and they fish, all 12 of them fish the same thing every year. So it's like the same people who usually win, but they found last year there was a guy, they have a new tournament director this year because the guy who did run it was giving spots away to one of his buddies. So during the kayak tournament, he would text his buddy GPS locations of where this dude's, one guy's catching a limit of fish and they're all within this one area. And he would text it to him and then he would go over there and start catching fish too. I think that when he told me that, it kind of put a little light in my head. I think that probably happens more often than anything else.
Yeah. I think I can see that.
Tournament directors being friends with people who are in it. And I'm not saying everyone does this. I'm not even saying I think anyone around here does this. I'm just saying I think that happens probably more often than fish baskets or, you know, people trying to fudge the boards now. I think people, I can see that happening. Tournament directors giving information to certain anglers that are in the tournament.
Yeah. And I know there was one recently, within the last 2 years, got caught with Buckeye. Somebody, he cheated doing something. He might have cut the fish's tail or something to make it look longer. I can't remember, but they busted him and he got into trouble. Cutting the fish's tail, they pretty much like got rid of any, I don't know what I'm trying to say, like any way of doing that, you know what I mean?
Any easy way to cheat.
Like you can't have your fish over that part, or you can't have your hand over that part of the fish anymore. So. They're slowly but surely making rules to help the sport, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. Next one.
Well, this is a fun one.
Do you think Tom Brady thinks he should have stayed retired, Chris Yauch? Yes, I do. I think he's having a rough time in life right now.
I was going to say, so I don't think so. Like, I know he's going through a rough time right now, but in my opinion, I think what he's going through now has been going on before he retired. He retired, went home, and was like, I don't want to deal with these problems anymore. I'm going to go back and play football. You know what I mean? I for some reason, that's how I think it all went down.
Yeah, from what I've heard, it when he came out of retirement, that's what, I guess, broke the camel's back, because he was supposed to retire to spend time with the family, and he didn't. I don't know. Maybe it's the misogynist in me. But if I was making millions upon millions of dollars every year, and Stacy was upset that I wasn't home, when I'm home with her like 6 months a year, and then for 4 months, I just don't see her on Sundays all day, or maybe Saturday and Sundays, I'd be a little butthurt. I'm probably in Team Brady right now. And this is the first time I've ever said that in my whole life, because I hate the dude from college all the way through the NFL. Man. But
he's a great quarterback, though, man.
He's the best of all time.
Yeah.
Easy. He's easily the best of all time. And I still hate him.
He's still putting up numbers that are like, he's like top five in passing yards this year.
Yeah, and he's like 46 years old. It's ridiculous,
man.
Yeah, he's a cyborg. But yeah, Chris, that's what I think.
Yep. Rods for kayaks. Do we think differently about action versus power when we fish from a kayak? Tennessee Kayak on Instagram. Interesting question.
Was this the guy we met at that Taco Bell?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think Tennessee Kayak, I think this is the, I don't know, tournament director or something from down there.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I've never really thought about it.
I don't. I mean, I throw the same rods I would throw if I was on a bass boat in my boat, my kayak.
I do too. I will say, though, like switching over to extra fast, like I said earlier, I don't know if that helps in a kayak or not. I'm not going to say one way or the other, but it seems like I don't lose as many fish with the extra fast, like finesse baits, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible because you're getting to that fish a little bit quicker. I think you could say the same thing in a boat, though, to be honest. Yeah. If you're throwing finesse boats from a boat,
that's a tough question, man. I've never really thought about it.
And neither have I. If I use a 7.3 casting rod for Texas rigs on a boat, I'm using the same rod in the kayak, just how it goes. There's a couple companies that make yak kayak rods, specific rods, like Mojo or St. Croix makes some Mojo yak rods. Mm-hmm. I've used them. I don't like them. The butts are too short.
See, I like the short butts for certain techniques. Like if I'm using a spook or shower blows or jerk bait or something like that.
I still don't. I'd rather have just a regular size rear end on the rod. I don't know. It's more natural for me. It's probably because I fished from boats for so long before coming to kayaks.
A natural rear end.
That's weird. This got weird. That's
weird. Next question.
Yep. What's your favorite animal to come across when you're fishing? Fish don't count. Cam Steele.
Oh, man. Shout out to Cam, Faith and Fishing Podcast.
For sure. Great. Loved being on there, big boy. I was a big fan of it. I don't know. I tell you one of the coolest experiences, and it's not when I like got chased by a gator. That sucked. I'd never say that's cool ever in my life. The last time I was on a certain stretch of the river, starts with a G. I was fishing some fallen stuff. I pulled two little smallmouth on. I was having a rough day. I caught a stupid carp on a jerkbait and it actually ate it, and it got one whole treble in its little sucker mouth. Or it was a hog sucker. It wasn't a carp. And it started freaking out. And I was yelling in the middle of the river, like screaming at it to stop, because it like had got the rear end of the Vision 110 stuck in my pants. And I was freaking, it just wouldn't stop. Like I flicked it in the face and it finally just stopped moving. And I was able to rip the hook out. Like it was bad. But I was fishing, so I'm sitting there. Picture this, if you will. So scene behind me, fun fishing, throwing a Ned rig, bouncing it. And I just hit my pedals to centralize myself. and I saw what looked like a giant dog under the water swim away. And I looked down a little bit more and it spooked me. Like I was like, oh, and it was the biggest beaver I've ever seen in my life.
That's crazy.
Like huge. And it was smacking the ground with its tail. Like it was, oh dude, it was massive. And I was freaked out ever since then. Cause beavers are like little demons. And I like reeled up and I backed out and I start flying down the water. I was like, dude, I hope I don't hit this thing with my prop or anything. I just got away from the whole area. So that was really cool. Is that my favorite? I don't know. Maybe I mean, we've seen eagles a ton. Like it's almost,
we see them all the time.
I've lost the like, oh, it's an eagle. Now it's like, stupid eagle.
Just you screams. Know, I was going to say eagle, but that's kind of cliche. They're cool to see. I've seen three on one branch before, which was really cool. But I'm going to say chipmunk, dude, because every time we're fishing like the freaking the riprap banks and they're just scurrying across the rocks, it just makes me smile and laugh. I'm like, dude, that was funny. I don't know why.
Oh, man. yeah, I mean, we don't have a ton of like, I mean, there's a lot of wildlife here. There's not a whole ton of, I did see a bobcat once. That's my answer. Bobcat.
That'd be cool.
I saw a bobcat on a southern stretch, and it was just drinking water. And it was like what you'd see on National Geographic, like it was like paws down, it was looking up, drinking water. And I was like, that's freaking awesome. So that's my answer is a bobcat. But that's like the coolest animal I'm gonna see. Like I've seen so many deer cross the river, I don't care about seeing deer anymore. Eagles, that's cool. I don't care about seeing them anymore.
I'm with you.
But yeah, good question, Cam.
He has another good question too here. He has a couple actually.
He does. What guest has surprised you the most by their charisma, knowledge, or something else? Cam Steele.
I should have thought about this before we started because this put me on the spot a little bit.
When you put this in the notes, I said to myself, I got to think about that, and I forgot. So now I got to think.
We've done so many shows, man. It's just,
and you've done way more than even I have. I've only done probably 30 in the last year.
I got to go with Glenn Young from Z-Man. That guy, he cracks me up every time, and like it's effortless. I don't even have to talk in the episode.
Yeah, that was a really good episode because I didn't feel because I hadn't been with the show for very I had this was after ICAST when he came back on.
Yeah,
I've got an answer for you. Old Hans from Bonafide.
Oh, that was a good one too. Yeah,
dude, that show,
he did surprise me.
The charisma, knowledge, and the something else is this dude 3D printed pieces of the new RVR from Bonafide that's coming out in January. That show was so intricate in the amount of stuff that he was explaining and showing and giving like visual demonstrations on. I mean, that I came into that show thinking it was like, oh yeah, we're going to talk about the RVR, and they didn't show it at ICAST. So it's probably going to be some drawings or something, and we're not going to really see anything. And this dude comes out and be like, oh yeah, I 3D printed the whole boat. I was like, what did you do? And then he has like blown up versions of the bow and the stern. Yeah, dude, that the Bonafide RVR show with Hans. That's the
show.
That
was a good
one. Yeah.
That's a great answer. I didn't even think about that.
I love that show. I still people watch that show all the time. Another one from Mr. Steele. When paddling, how do you finesse fish and current? I'm guessing in current.
In current, yeah.
Yeah, and how do you stay in one place long enough to let the bait do its thing? This is a great question.
It is.
So I talked to some. You're good. Go.
I have a lot of people ask me this because a lot of people that don't fish rivers, they always ask this question. I'm like, it's really not as hard as you think. Our river, like the current in our river, is not that fast anyway. Like, if there's no wind pushing you downstream, you're going maybe half a mile an hour. So that gives that gives you enough time to let your bait float down to the bottom, excuse me, and to work it back to you and stuff like that. So it's not an issue. But if you're in quicker water, I will anchor down. There's also that rule where, let's say you're in 4 feet of water, they want you to let out three times the amount of line. So 4 times 3 is 12. Let out 12 feet of line, you won't go anywhere. So if I'm fishing faster water, that's how I do it.
Yeah. So, I don't anchor out at all. It depends if I'm in,
I've got pedals.
So for me, as long as my drive can stay in, I can fish any current as fast as it can be. As long as my little legs can keep up, I can fish it. If the current gets too low, I will do one of two things. If I really want to finesse bait something and I'm like, there's an eddy off the side of current, I'll either get right out of the current on the edge of the eddy and fish that all the way back, or I'll find a low spot in that current and try to like wedge my boat up into it.
Yeah.
And fish it to where I'm standing. Now, the bad thing with that, don't do that because that's stupid. Because you're going to wedge yourself into a spot and then the current's going to push you over and then you're going to die. So like, don't be dumb. But that's what I do. I've never claimed to be smart, so I can do whatever I want. So I mean, that's how I do it. I don't like having an anchor on the boat.
I don't either. Reasons. It's a pain in the butt, dude.
It's a pain in the butt. Like, I've had anchors get stuck, which is sketchier than all get out. Like that. I was more afraid of that than like wedging myself on a rock.
You gotta be smart about it. If you anchor in a river.
Yep. I've had anchors get stuck. I've had line get tangled around other stuff. And it's just, it's an extra piece of something I don't want to worry about. Now like a power pole, I'm about power poles. I'm probably going to get a power pole like before January.
I'll be interested to see what it's like for you.
I know we're so rocky. That's the only thing that's keeping me from getting one, because I don't know how well it'll anchor me in the river with it just being rocks. Like, is it going to wedge itself into rocks and then I'm not going to move, or is it just going to keep tanking off rocks forever and then it's not going to matter anyway? And then I spent $600 for no reason. So I don't know.
Good question to ask somebody who has one. I will say though, before we go off this question, if there's spots that I want to hit in riffles or something like that, and it's wadeable, I'll get out, I'll tie the kayak to my waist and I'll pull it behind me and wade that whole pitch from different angles.
Yep. Done that before too. With the Scholey, it's even easier though, 'cause you got that cam strap in the front.
Yeah. It's nice.
this is from our best friend, Jimmy the Dickhole. Why do you suck at fishing? I don't know, Jimmy. Why do you suck at fishing?
Jimmy Skinner.
Do you want to play the big fish game this year so far? Huh? Because you'll lose.
Jimmy, I can't catch a 20-inch smallmouth in Alabama for nothing.
I give a
It's all right, Jimmy. I've only caught 3 or 4 this year. Only.
Yeah, I still haven't caught one, Jimmy, but I've caught a bunch of 19s, so I'll take it. I think I've caught 6 19s so far this year. Oh, it's so frustrating. I'm annoyed. Like, I'm catching 19s. I'm like, this is stupid.
You got years of it still. Trust me.
I know.
Unless you get lucky, like eventually, and you're just like me, like last year, I finally caught one. I was like, after 8 years, man, geez.
I'm just going to take it. Next time I get like a 19 and a quarter or a half, I'm just going to take it home and feed it. Let it get to 20. Hook it in the mouth and let it go in the river and then reel it back in.
Yeah.
All right. In your opinion, who is the best bass fisherman in the world right now? I don't Campbell like, are Kinch. We talking, are we, yeah, Campbell Kinch, my bad. Are we talking like any bass fisherman or kayak bass fisherman?
I don't know. I was kind of thinking it was going towards like elites and stuff like that. But if it's anybody in the world, I'm going to say me, obviously.
I don't even know.
I'm just going to say Jacob Wheeler. I don't know.
I don't think so.
He's going to show everybody what's up next year with the new rules.
Or he's not at all.
I know. He's probably not.
I'm just saying, like, this is, it's... I think
Hank Cherry.
Yeah, Hank Cherry.
You know who I root for, and I think's like underrated is Matt Robertson. He's always at the top, dude.
Matt Robinson's always up there with his Bassmaster tattoo. He's always up there. I always root for, like, I'm a big fan of Brian Latimer. I think he's underrated. I don't think he's the best in the world, but I think he's good. Yeah. I think he doesn't get the credit he deserves. I like Scott Martin. I think he could fish with the best of them most days. Mostly I've met him. He's a really nice guy. So I'm going to say Scott Martin, I guess.
That's cool.
I don't follow, like, I don't, bass fishing is kind of, it's not like golf or basketball or football. Like anyone, any tournament can go out and have a great tournament.
Yeah.
Like even in golf, like when Tiger was in his prime, it wasn't like, oh, here comes Joe Blow from Idaho. He could beat Tiger today. Everyone was like, yeah, Tiger's going to win by like 30 strokes. That's how it's going.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he did. So, but with bass fishing, I mean, anyone can go out there. I think your most consistent fisherman as of right now, Jacob Wheeler's one of them.
You got to put Hank Cherry up there for winning back.
Yeah, Hank Cherry. Who else? Definitely the I can't pronounce his name. Aki, A-O-K-Y, Daisuke Aki. He's pretty consistent. He's a Japanese angler. He's pretty monstrous. But yeah, I mean, if you go look at the Bassmaster like roster of anglers, any one of those fishermen can win any day of the week. That's just how it is. I don't think you can really say this is the best fisherman of the year. Or you can say this is the best fisherman of the year. I don't think you can say he's the best bass fisherman.
Period.
Yeah, period. Because,
yeah.
I mean, he can go out there and Jacob Wheeler can go out and have a bad day and Seth Finder can just come up and be like, yeah, dude, I caught 40 pounds of fish today.
Yeah.
Suck it. I mean, because Seth would probably do that. But that's my two cents. That's a hard question, too. Especially
it is a hard question.
I've been following kayak stuff. If we were talking about kayak stuff, I don't care who says anything about it. I think Drew Gregory's the best kayak bass fisherman right now.
Him and Russ Snyder, man. I think those are the top two.
Those two and Siddiqui
all day. Yeah, he's good too.
Yeah. So I don't know. Next.
This next question's weird. Like I don't know how to take it. So I read it to my wife and she interpreted it differently than we did. So
I'm going
to take it. Yeah. This says, have you ever felt like you were good at fishing or so good at fishing that people get jealous when you catch a fish and even worse it, your fish pictures like a religion? I do. Comes from Honors Angler. She interpreted that he was jealous of my fish pictures, but I'm like, no, he posted it on Paddle and Fin's Instagram. So I'm taking it as, I don't know. Is he a big ego type of guy?
Maybe. I mean,
it's a weird question, dude. I don't know what to say to this.
If I'm basing it just off the question, I'm going to say, yeah, you have a big ego. You catch a lot of fish. But at the same time, how I usually say, if people consistently catch giant fish, if you look at their pictures, they're consistently catching them out of like ponds. Because ponds are where the big ones are. If you want to break a PB, go to a pond.
Yeah.
I promise you'll do it. Because there's like 12 fish in there and 4,000 bluegill, and those 12 fish are all 6 pounds. Like it's just how it is. Like you'll catch big fish. I know a guy who fishes exclusive private ponds out of a quarry by my house, and he thinks he's the best fisherman ever. But I had a kid who I literally got into fishing, had been fishing for a week, went in there and caught 4 5-pound fish in 2 days. Mm. No one fishes it. They're not pressured. And he was throwing a bubble gum Senko. Like no one's fishing it. They're not pressured. They're going to eat everything. I do think I will pull something out of this question that he probably didn't mean us to, but I think it's a good talking point. I think there are people out there who you can go fish with them and they never act like it. But I think there are people out there who get upset and butthurt when you catch fish and they don't.
Uh-huh.
Or if you catch fish, they catch fish, but your fish are better. They dwell on that. Like it's, I don't know. It's like, I'll never be as good as him because the fish he catches, and it's kind of like a negative thing. I've known people who are like that, that'll go out. Like when I was down south in the Marine Corps, I'd take guys with me and I would catch 3-pound largemouth or 4-pound, and they catch dinks, and they'd be like, man, stupid, you always catch bigger fish than me. I was like, I don't know, dude, we're throwing the same thing. I just luck out. Yeah. Like, I don't know what to tell you. It is what it is. But yeah, that's a weird question.
Well, it's different for us because it seems like me, you, and Justin, we all take turns. Like somebody will get hot. Like Justin was hot all year, but like,
oh yeah,
like summertime. I sucked this summertime.
Yeah.
Like I was
surprised. I was really surprised.
And then here's Justin, he's catching one every trip. And then here's Matt, he's catching one every trip. And I'm like, oh my gosh, dude, I cannot catch a fish. What's going on?
Well, I'll preference that. None of us skunked in the summer.
Yeah.
When Brad says, I can't catch a fish, me and Justin were catching like 16, 17s, 18s, and 19s. I was catching
13s.
Brad was catching, I mean, he caught more fish than us all day long, but he was catching like 15, 12, 10, 12s, and 13 inch fish. And we were catching 13s, 14s, 15s, and then a 19 or something. But then we get into the fall. There's that day we went out and caught like 100 fish between us. I caught like 30 fish, and my biggest was like 16 and a half or 17. And Brad caught an 18, a 19, I think a 17. And then a bunch of dinks.
The fall, man. The fall is my favorite time.
Yeah. And I haven't got a chance to get out a whole lot. Well, I went out for largemouth and I got some big girls last week. But yeah, this question, kind of weird. I appreciate it anyway, but I don't understand it. So speaking of Justin from J. Marsh Fishing,
what is your like all-time four from him?
Yeah. The rest of them are from him. Everything else is from Justin. So we're rounding out the show with our other
co-host
bromance member Justin Marshall. What is your all-time least favorite fishing product?
Calco's donkey leash. Don't buy one. They are absolute trash. I tell you, dude, I wrenched that freaking thing down on a freaking largemouth once. It was at the paddle and fin tournament when they came to Cowan Lake. I dropped it in the water, was getting my board ready and stuff. The thing head shook and it came apart. I would have won the tournament if it wasn't for that. So those things are trash, and I don't even care. I threw it away after that, too.
I bet you did. Oh, man. So I'll two-part it. Lately, this is my least favorite fishing product, the Berkley Gilly. It's trash. I hate it. I regret buying so many packs of them before I tried them, but you just couldn't get anywhere. But of all time, I don't know. Probably
Banjo Minnow.
The Banjo Minnow catches fish, man. I'll be honest.
Mighty Bite, the light up lure.
I've never used it, so I can't say it sucks. Like, I'm trying to think of things there hasn't been a whole lot of products I've bought and been like, man, this just sucks.
Yeah.
Least favorite. I don't know, to be honest with you. Like, there hasn't been a whole lot of stuff that I've got that I can remember getting that I'm like, man, this, I can tell you one thing, the Lose Speed Stick rods, that will always, I haven't had one of those in 6 years. And I will tell you to the day I die, that is the worst rod in any Lose I've ever used. Their rods, reels aren't terrible. Rods, I've broken every single rod that I've bought from Lose, whether it was a Lose Pro, like the white Pro TI rod or whatever, the white one. I broke like four of those, and they're like, oh, we're going to upgrade you to the Speed Stick. It was like a $230 rod. Guess what I did the second trip I was out? I snapped it right in half on a hook set. Those rods are trash, and I'll never use Lose rods ever again. Jeez. Just how it is. Sorry.
Somebody listening right now is punching air.
I don't care. Bite me. I hate Lose rods, and I hate Abu Garcia reels. I've got a Revo Rocket that I'm putting on Instagram in a couple days. If you want to buy it, hit me up. You pay shipping, it's all yours, and I'm going to sell it to you to a great price.
There you go.
Yep. Next question. Hey, it's Justin Marshall again. What is one product you're looking forward to using and reviewing in 2023? I already know mine, so you can answer.
You can go, dude. I don't know.
Oh, cool. The Bonafide RVR. I'm getting a Bonafide RVR because it's going to be a riverboat from Bonafide, and I really like the P127, but I'm going to take the RVR out because it's going to be a lot lighter and a lot easier to move. I'm not going to have to trailer it. I can just throw it in the truck bed and do trips.
You're so used to pedals that you're going to hate paddling, dude.
Oh, dude, I'm not going to paddle. I'm putting a Torquedo on it.
Oh, there you go. That'd be sweet.
Yeah. There's going to be a Torquedo or a Newport. No, Newport, because I have a 24-volt battery sitting here.
You gave me an idea because I'm supposed to be getting a P127, so I guess I'm looking forward to that for 2023. I've never used one yet.
And you'll get the new one because they did a refresh on it. So,
Didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't know what it's refreshed. I looked at the video. It looks like the same. I think they added some reinforcements here and there, and I think they changed the rudder system, like they made a little bit stronger because even mine's getting a little loose from use, but it still works. So I don't really care.
That's cool.
But yeah, so we're looking forward to boats. There's most of the lures are already out. Like there's nothing new really coming out in the next year. Sunline's redoing the Sniper in 2023. So I'm excited to see, make sure that doesn't like suck.
Ooh,
so that's be cool.
Interesting.
Yep.
We need to do that show.
I've tried. Next. What was your favorite fish catch this year? Quick rundown on what lure you used and any other details that made it memorable. Justin Marshall.
What about you? I think I know what yours already is.
19 3/4, the day that we were
waiting.
We weren't even in the boats, but we were waiting. I hadn't caught, like Brad had caught a couple small fish. Justin had caught some fish. And I had caught one little tiny fish, but I hadn't caught anything big. And I was like, man, this sucks. And I was throwing a big Joshy on underneath a bridge, and the current was moving pretty good underneath there. Had a 1/4 ounce head that was getting swept away. So I was like, screw this. Brought it back, tied on a 1/2 ounce head, sled head from Jigmasters, put the Joshy back on it, and clown never gets bit.
Clown color, man. Crazy.
Yep. Threw it in there, and it finally got below that current. And the second it got below that current, a 19 3/4 giant, like football smallmouth in the middle of July.
Yeah, that was out. A good fish, man.
And then from then on, that it was memorable for two reasons. A, it was with Brad and Justin. So I love catching big fish when I'm with them because they get as hyped about it than I do, so which is cool. And another reason it was memorable because that like was a cascading effect because me and Brad hit like 3 other spots and I caught for a limit. I probably had 90 inches that day.
That was a good day.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then Brad that day, he caught more catfish than I've ever seen anybody catch. It was crazy.
5 in a row out of that spot, I know. Dude. So crazy.
Oh man. But yeah, that's definitely mine for the year so far.
Mine isn't even the biggest fish of the year. So there was one day I went out by myself. It was after I was struggling all of June, and it was the first big fish I caught since the beginning of June. I went out, it was thunderstorming. It was lightning. I was soaking wet. The river was flooded and it was muddy and you could hardly see your bait 6 inches in the water. I pitched the Jigmasters custom black spinner bait right up against these weeds. I pulled it through. I got snagged on the weeds. I ripped it out. I watched the wake come out of the grass and smack it. And I fought that fish like 6 feet away from me. He's standing right there. Like I'm literally right over top of this fish. I was like, dude, that was nuts. But that was probably the coolest fish. Yeah. That was probably the coolest fish this year.
That's awesome. I will say.
I mean, it was an 18, so it was a good fish.
Oh, yeah. It's a really good fish. I mean, that's a great fish. I will say, I wish it said what was your favorite fish memory, because I was lucky enough to get my wife out on the boat on a kayak, and she caught a fish Ohio crappie, and it's the first fish she's caught in like 11 years. And that's on my Instagram. Go back and look. It's crappie is like 14 3/4 inch long, like just massive crappie.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. So, yeah.
Good question.
Next one. Justin Marshall Fishing. What lure will you learn to throw better in 2023? I was actually talking about this the other day. I'm going to throw drop shots.
Yeah. I need to get better with those too. I know somebody has thrown them in the river too, but the bait that I want to get better with that kicked my ass this year was the Fluke. Man, it kicked my ass. Like I fished with my buddy Will.
You were the Fluke master 2 years ago, or not last year. Yeah, you were
a little bit
all over.
A little bit. I didn't get real consistent with him, but I caught some good fish on it. But I fished with Will, man. He wore the fish out on the Fluke. I could not buy a bite. Like this year was just bad for me. I talked to a couple other guys. They're like, oh, clear water technique, throw white. That's it. So I want to build on that next year. I want to get better with it.
Yeah, that's something I could definitely look at doing too. The bad thing with Flukes, man, I don't know. If they're biting a Fluke, they'll probably bite a Joshy.
Yeah, I can see
that. So, yeah, I don't know. Is there any change or addition that local kayak fishing trails could do to reignite your love for kayak tournament fishing? Justin Marshall.
That's a good question too.
I don't think there's anything they could do. Like our local trails do a good job. So
they do.
Like
I, I will say, like, the thing I don't like, especially about Cincinnati, which is like not, that's not in their control. They fish in Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana. That gets expensive, man. Like, you have to buy the fishing license and you got to travel. Some of these lakes are like 2-3 hours away. I'm just like, oh, I can't do it, man.
Yeah, I can agree with that. But I mean, I guess we have the Buckeye for like all local stuff. but even that's not really local because that's up toward Columbus and everything. So that's an hour to 2 hours away for everything they're doing. And
they do stuff up at Lake Erie too.
Yep.
But at least they're in the state. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
true.
Fishing license, man, that's expensive. Like Kentucky non-resident for 3 days is like $50. Or something weird. I don't remember.
22 or 23
for 3 days.
Still, it's because that's what I paid at Dale Hollow. Because I got the Kentucky one because the Tennessee was more expensive than Kentucky one. I do wish there's no change or addition that local kayak fishing trails could do that are around right now. I wish there was a Dayton trail like that would fish the GMR, the Little Miami, the Madden, certain sections, Cowan, CJ, Caesars. Like, I wish those, like, and it was just Dayton. Like, just this area.
I wouldn't be interested in Little Miami or Mad River.
I don't know, dude. I've caught some good largemouth out of Little Miami, and they fought, like, smallmouth, so that was pretty cool. I mean, I liked it. And there's certain stretches. Like, the place I took you to and you've been to before sucks. I mean, there's too many people. But there's stretches of Little Miami, like, up toward, like, Yellow Springs and stuff that's not bad. Yeah. But I wish there was like a local thing to where I'm not driving an hour one way or another. Cause part of these kayak like trails that make them cool is you can go hang out with people. Like after, like they'll have a Cincinnati does a Cincinnati cookout. Kayak trail, like cookout. But dude, I don't want to drive an hour and 20 minutes to go to a cookout.
Yeah.
Like I do, but it's not feasible. Like this year I couldn't, like I wanted to go and people were asking me to go. And I was like, yeah, man, I'm going to go. And then it came up and I was at half a tank of gas already. And I was like, dude, I don't want to waste another quarter tank of gas going down there and back.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's, I don't know.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm the same way, man. I'm kind of poor.
I mean, you're not, but I understand. Next, this is geared toward moi. Now that you've lost a few things on the river, including a catchboard. Correction, two catchboards. Tell us about what you're currently using for a leash in your kayak, and are there any recommendations on specific leashes? Currently, I finally learned my lesson, and everything in my boat is leashed down some way or some form, and they're all using Rogue leashes. The Rogue Cobra Latch kayak catchboard leash.
That thing's amazing. Sweet. Yeah,
it's freaking awesome. So it's a regular leash, and then it's got a attachment that goes on the catchboard that you, it's like a Cobra belt buckle that you put together. So if I need to get my catchboard and it's stuck on something, I can pop the leash off and get it around and then grab the leash and bring it back through. Dude, it makes it so much better. And I dropped my board once this year already. And guess what? Didn't go anywhere. I just pulled it right back up. It was great. So
nice.
Rogue kayak leashes. Don't be me. Don't be dumb. Leash your stuff.
Last question of the episode.
Of all the fishing products you have tried in 2022, what was your favorite product and why? Again, the Justin Marshall. Brad?
Matt's going to say the slobber knocker.
I'm not. The thing sucked.
Oh, dude, I don't know, man. You know what? I'm going to say the MGL reels, man. Like, I know I'm late to the party. I know I'm late to the party on those, but man... They're awesome. I love those reels. Very smooth.
Believe me, as a preaching to the choir type person, because I've been here for a minute, I still love them every second I get to use them. For me, it would be Douglas rods. I've loved the rods. It's the first year I've used them. I've been using them since.
You didn't have them at Dale Hollow, did you?
Nope, I was using all Mega Bass at Dale Hollow. I think it was May or June. But I got on with the team after trying some Brad's rods. Actually, I got a rod, loved it, and then switched completely from Mega Bass rods, and St. Croix, but mostly Mega Bass rods to Douglas solely. That's all I've used all year. I have been very fortunate. I think Brad has the worst luck ever, and he breaks all his. But I have yet to break a rod. I have the worst things happen to any of my rods is one of the guides bent up when it was in my rod box because I tightened it down on a guide and wasn't paying attention, and I literally just popped it down. It was fine. So those are easily the Douglas rods are the best rods I've ever used. Super sensitive, great backbone. They feel good in the hand. They're light, so you can cast, make more casts, and cast longer without getting fatigued. That's for me. Douglas rods, best rods.
Dude, so I broke my medium light rod like a month or so ago, month and a half ago or something. Matt, you let me use his St. Croix Avid medium light. That rod sucks, man. I was so glad to get my X Matrix back. Like,
here's the thing. The rod itself doesn't suck.
I do not like it.
But you've been using such a better rod. Like, that's the same way. I feel the same way now when I pick up. I have two Megabash rods sitting over there that don't even have reels on them because I don't like using them anymore compared to my Douglas rods.
Yeah.
And those are like, one's a $400 rod and one's a $250 rod. Just sitting there.
That's just
they don't get used. Like, they're just there. And then back here, none of these are Douglas rods. These are just permanent like fixtures in the podcast. There's a Legend tournament. There's a Dobbins champion, which that's actually a really good rod. I like that rod. A Mojo Bass, a Panfish rod that I actually kind of do like, but not that much. And then another Legend Elite. Just sitting there.
There you go. Just sitting there.
Don't even use them. But the Douglas stuff, man. That's why it sucked for you. You hated that Avid. Well, you hated the Avid because you're so used to a much better product.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it is what it is.
But yeah, man, this was a fun show. Got to talk about a lot.
It was, dude.
Longer show. Thanks everybody who asked questions. We're going to try to do these a little bit more often, maybe every couple months or something.
This one because we didn't have an idea for this week.
That's not true. We're waiting on somebody. We had a show, but they can't do it this week. So we're waiting on them.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that.
But that's going to be a good show too when that comes on. So I don't have anything else. Brad, you got anything?
Nope. We are good.
Awesome. Good to go.
Well, guys, thanks for listening. I didn't know what Matt was going to say, so I kind of threw me off a little bit, but it's all good. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you guys next week. Have a good one.
Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures, your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.